Buffalo can hang on. This is going to be a good one.
The fans at Kansas Speedway know how to have a good time. And you are all invited. NASCAR weekend at Kansas Speedway, May 4th and 5th. Get your tickets now at kansasspeedway.com.
The Zone with Jason Anderson.
Josh looked lonely.
Yeah, that's been true for a long time.
And I had nothing better to do.
Wanted to get out of the house.
That Beard, can you clip that for cut so I can have that just as a reminder of how my high school experience went?
Weekdays from 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Thank you to Kendall Gammon joining us. We continue right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Chiefs will be talking about 11:45, 11:50. Let's talk with Matt Derrick, Chiefs Digest, joining us here in the Zone. Matt, what's up, man? How are you, sir?
I am doing pretty well, Jason. I am up here. I was going to, for dedicated listeners of the postgame show, I was going to be in the penthouse suite, sponsored and presented by Tickets for Less, on the infamous couches upstairs. But there's a tour right now in the penthouse suite. So I'm out in the hallway overlooking the lovely parking lot and the vista of South KC. So
nice. A pat on the back to you that last week on the show, Matt, you picked 24-21 Chiefs. So you were wrong. That's all I'm saying.
I was wrong.
You were.
Well, I picked 23-20.
You did?
24-21. No, I did.
24-21. Right. Yeah, you picked.
I forget which one I picked and what the score was.
Yeah. Well, it was 24-21 you picked. It was 23-20 was the final. I joked that you were wrong, but you had it that score. You had it as a three-point game. You knew it would be that close. Your thoughts going into the game, we see the different injuries that happened. You know, we've been kind of asking different people the general question and see what their takeaway is. But as you look back on the game, how did the Chiefs get it done? How were they able to find a way to score more points than the Bengals with the certain things they were up against?
I mean, I didn't think it was about scoring points. I mean, I was just more impressed that they were able to keep the Bengals from scoring points with the things that happened to them. I'm used to Patrick Mahomes dealing with injuries at this point. I mean, and honestly, after I made the prediction, I felt like maybe I was undercutting this team a little bit. Maybe they're going to come out and put a little bit more of the beat down on the Bengals, because I do think there was some motivation. But I think the Chiefs defense deserves a ton of credit for stopping the Bengals, because LeJarius Sneed was going to be a huge part of that game plan. I mean, he was going to be matched up most of the night on Jamar Chase. And if it wasn't going to be him, it was going to be Trent McDuffie. And then you lose LeJarius Sneed, and Steve Spagnuolo has to just flip that game plan on an end. And they still did it. They got it done, and the young guys helped out, and the front line helped out. But pulling that out without Sneed was a real accomplishment.
Do you expect, Andy Reid said it, we had talked last week about what Sneed's role is going to be. Is he going to follow somebody? Is he going to be with T. Higgins? Is it going to be Jamar Chase? But Andy Reid had sort of mentioned that he was going to be following Jamar Chase in that game. And, you know, to your point, what you're talking about, if you've got a game plan that has Sneed following around, one of the best receivers in the NFL, and in four plays he goes down, and you've got, you know, a rookie in Joshua Williams that's not going to step up and play a role that doubt you're going to be following, you know, Jamar Chase with Williams or Watson or even McDuffie, who you hadn't planned to do that, that you got to change things on the fly. I thought it was interesting that, Andy Reid had said that that Sneed was going to be following Jamar Chase, and there was going to be some traveling that took place with that game.
Yeah, and because that was what I was watching from the very get-go, is, you know, how were the Chiefs going to match up in the receivers? And maybe it would have changed, but at least on those couple of snaps that LeJarius was out there for, the Chiefs were in a formation where McDuffie was staying on the inside, and it was just LeJarius flipping around based on where Jamar was. And if Jamar was lining up in the slot, McDuffie took him. That's one, it shows a tremendous amount of trust to McDuffie too, that, you know, that they're willing to say, hey, Jamar's in this spot, he's your guy. But then to be able to just flip that, I thought was amazing. And there's no doubt. I mean, I think Steve Spagnuolo played a little bit of rope-a-dope. And, you know, we talked about it before, you know, do you put everything that you've got into the regular season? If you've got a team that you think you're going to match up against the playoffs, do you throw the kitchen sink at them in the regular season, or do you hold a little back? Do you anticipate, you know, that maybe next time around you got to save your best stuff? I think Steve Spagnuolo saved his best stuff for the playoffs. because I thought even against the Bengals the first time around that the Chiefs defensively played a little vanilla. And against the Bengals, I mean, they've made things a little bit differently. I mean, they moved Chris Jones around. They were trying to find ways to isolate him into some one-on-one matchups. And I think they got in the and certainly the injuries on the Bengals offensive side helped too. But I think they were able to get into the Bengals offensive heads a little bit. They were so worried about Chris Jones and trying to get some hands on him that they didn't always worry about everybody else. And as a result, I mean, I think that was another reason why the Chiefs front four was able to have such a big night.
Well, it's interesting when you talk about Chris Jones and moving him around and Steve Spagnuolo maybe holding something back at different times this year versus then, you know, opening up the playbook and the bag and the game plan scheme against the Bengals, that, you know, Steve Mariucci said on Twitter a few days ago that in talking with the Chiefs players before the game against the Bengals, one of his, you know, takeaways in talking with Chris Jones was that, you know, he said that that Steve Spagnuolo did not move them around that first go around, that they in Cincinnati, that they didn't want to show that they maybe played a little more static with Chris Jones, whereas this game plan was going to be Chris Jones moving all around and doing all different things. And it is above my pay grade. You know, I can go back just in general novice surface level and say, well, Chris Jones lined up as defensive end in Cincinnati five times in that game, and he lined up, I think, five or six times in this game. So it's roughly the same when we talk about moving him around. But I know that there's so much more that goes into that. Where, you know, if he brings Nick Bolton up to the line of scrimmage, what does that do then for the offensive line to put Chris Jones in certain situations or sliding coverage one way or another? That those things may have been completely different, that the game plan that the defensive players were excited about had to do with maybe Chris Jones doing a lot of different things to disrupt what the offense was going to do and maybe create some mismatches for other guys as well. That hearing Steve Mariucci say that Chris Jones was like, yeah, this is how we went about it against Cincinnati on December 4th on purpose. And now they expected to play Cincinnati again in the playoffs, and they did, and they had a different game plan up front for him.
Yeah, and you know, and to me, I mean, like I said, it goes back to the age-old argument. I mean, coaches will never tell you that they save stuff, that they you know maybe don't put their best stuff out there every single game during the regular season. But the reality of it is that sure they bank stuff. I mean, you absolutely have to. I mean, it's a chess game. It's strategy. It's absolutely what you should do. And to me, I mean, if I'm the Chiefs, if I'm a Chiefs fan, I don't want the Chiefs putting out their best stuff against Buffalo and Cincinnati during the regular season. If you think you've got something that's going to work, save it. Absolutely. Because you know that these are teams you're going to see down the line. And to me, it's a waste to put your best stuff out there. And that's why, I mean, I think that Andy Reid's a great head coach. And I've heard it mentioned a couple of times on, I think, Seren's show this week with a couple of his guests. You know, there's a reason why I think that Andy Reid does really well these big games is that, you know, he's at this point in his career that obviously he's always got great stuff, but he knows how to spread it out. And when you've got a big game like an AFC Championship game and a Super Bowl, we know Andy Reid's going to have a game plan. Andy Reid's going to do something that you're not expecting.
Yeah, maybe it wasn't Steve Mariucci, because I'm looking through it now and I don't see a tweet from, you know, Steve Mariucci's Twitter account. But there was a tweet earlier this week that said that, you know, in talking with Chris Jones in the, you know, meetings or when they talk with the players before the game, that was something that came up. And also, you know what? I mean, we haven't really talked about him this week, but when we discussed the defensive line, playoff Frank comes up in the playoffs. He's 2.5 sacks away from the all-time leader in being tied for the most sacks in postseason history. And obviously we talk about Chris Jones and things like that. But Michael Dana was pretty darn good in that game. And the first sack of the game was Michael Dana, was him beating the left guard and then you know, Joe Burrow having to adjust and move around, and then Frank Clark came around and ended up getting the sack. But Michael Dana was pretty good in that game too, and that's part of just, you know, we talk about drafting, we talk about development and coaching, and I didn't expect Michael Dana to ever have an impact in an AFC Championship game or a playoff game or a Super Bowl or anything in his career. Nice player, role player, but somebody that actually make a difference? Probably not, but I think he deserves some credit for how he played in that game.
Yeah, he absolutely does. And I'm intrigued to see what happens going forward because, you know, Dana has played really nice. I mean, it's easy to look at him and say, okay, he's been a nice rotational piece. You know, it's a possibility next year he might get asked to be more than that. And if that's the case, I mean, I'm intrigued to see what he can do, you know, stepping up and everything. Because he has come through in moments. And then you see it in a spot like that. And I'll say, I mean, the moment I saw that sack, I mean, that after that first sack by Dana, I was like, okay, this is going to be different. Because if the Chiefs are getting that kind of pressure on Burrow early, if he's uncomfortable already, that's just the beginning of things to come. So that first sack to me was as an indicator that Sunday night was going to be different.
Jay Feely, I found it there as you were talking about Michael Dana.
Kickers. You never know.
Yes. He said, this is his tweet. He said, here's the most interesting point to me. Chris Jones told us in the production meetings that the first matchup during the regular season, they purposefully didn't move him around, planning to do it when they played again in the playoffs. And then they would move him around. And that was in reply to Dan Orlovsky breaking down the different fronts the Chiefs were using to set up the advantages to get Chris Jones one-on-one. And it's, you know, the TV screen that Orlovsky's at and doing the different pausing and highlighting and drawing and things like that to go through it. And then Jay Feely is like, yeah, here's some context to what you're talking about. And that the first go around, they didn't do these things. And now they did it this go around against a backup offensive line. And turns out it worked. And good on Steve Spagnuolo for, you know, coming up with that and figuring that out. And also the planning that, yeah, we're probably going to see these guys again. So maybe we don't use a lot of the different things we were going to use. And in that game as well, Matt, and this isn't really scheme. This is just want to and desire and actually being able to get the job done. Tackling had been an issue at certain times this year for the Chiefs. And in that Cincinnati game, you know, on December 4th, it was a big issue. It felt like almost every play, Matt, and we talked about it, that, you know, every play it was like, how'd they get three more yards out of that? It was like, hey, here's a 7-yard play that ends up being a first down. And tackling had to be crucial. And I thought it was a really good indication that the first play of the game, that little throw down the line of scrimmage to Jamar Chase, and Trent McDuffie breaks through and tackles him one-on-one for a minimal gain. And I thought, okay. That didn't happen last time. Jamar Chase was breaking tackles and picking up 7-8 yards, didn't let the first guy tackle him. What did you think of the way this season has gone towards the end, Matt, how the Chiefs have tackled, how they've become better at that, and then showing that it wasn't just opponent-driven, that against the same opponent they couldn't tackle, that they went out there and they were pretty darn sound?
Yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, that some of the missed tackles late in the season kind of stuck in the craw of a lot of guys. I mean, there were some players who were disappointed in themselves. The coaches were trying to figure out how to toughen it back up because, you know, and sometimes that happens at the end of the season. I mean, you get tired. Your arms get tired. I think it's easy for that to happen. And obviously, you know, you get into late in the season and you do get into the playoffs. And Jacksonville was probably a really bad matchup for that, you know, for exposing that a little bit. Because, I mean, even in earlier games, I mean, Travis Etienne just seems to, like, you know, get 5 yards and then fall forward for three more against everybody. So I think that got exposed a little bit against Jacksonville because Jacksonville's just that kind of team. But there's no doubt. I mean, you know, that was a focus for the Chiefs. And I think it was, you know, NFL Network that was talking about how the Chiefs wanted their scout team offense to get a little nasty against the defense last week as far as, you know, putting a little more physicality into the game. And, hey, you're not tackling your own guys to the ground. But, you know, if you're pushing them around a little bit, you know, if you're, you know, on pass plays, you know, you're playing a little more physical, trying to get open just to mimic what you're going to see in the game. I mean, I think that helps. And, you know, it certainly seemed to, I think, register a little bit with these guys, because, I mean, hey, you can do all the drills you want to. You can try to provoke the physicality as much as you can. But, I mean, at the end of the day, it's up to the players. I mean, they're the ones that got to dial it up. They're the ones that have to bring it out of them. And I think they did it. I mean, as NFL players like to say, they had that dog in them on Sunday.
Yeah, and, you know, it kind of cost L'Jarius Sneed because he had that dog in him and came in and, you know, laid the hit on Samaje Perine, but, you know, his head hits the wrong spot on the thigh and it cost him the game. But he still came in to make the tackle with force, to be aggressive, and that was sort of the mindset the entire team took in that game. Sneed, we read your tweet yesterday that he was out there on the field, which is a good step in eventually being cleared from the concussion protocol. Which players that left the game early against the Bengals, who are you optimistic about that'll play against the Eagles, and who are you pessimistic about that won't play?
Yeah, I mean, the fact that Snead's out there already is a really good sign. And, I mean, the Chiefs have already actually scheduled Snead for being on the riser on Monday night. And, hey, they could still pull him if he's hurt. But I think all that's a really good sign. I mean, if Snead's out there right now, at least stage two or stage three, it's an incredible sign for him being ready. Kadarius Toney clearly looks pretty close. I mean, Andy Reid told us that yesterday. I mean, Willie Gay, I've got no concerns about whatsoever. I mean, he's been back at practice limited yet the last couple of days, but he should be fine. The one that I would say that I think is the biggest question is going to be Juju. I mean, I think we also know about McColl, that McColl's probably not going to be available. But Juju was limping really bad after the game on Sunday. That knee has been, I mean, it's a permanent issue with him. I mean, his knees, he holds it back in training camp. His knees were an issue. I mean, there's a lot of mileage on those. I think that he will be fine. I mean, they're going to do as much as they can. The plan is to try and get him to the point where he can get back on the practice field when they get to Arizona for their first practice on Wednesday. So if that's the case, it feel pretty good. But that would be the one that I would be the most worried about, because that's the guy I think that they need the most.
Mm-hmm. The most out of all those guys, or like
on offense, the other offensive guys that are banged,
including
up.
Kadarius Toney.
I think so. I mean, as explosive as Toney can be, you're only going to have Toney out there for maybe a handful of plays that he's the target. With Schuster, I mean, that's the guy that you want out there 70% of the time. I mean, he's been a big part of the game plan all season.
Yeah. It certainly looked like Toney was going to be a big part of the game plan early on. Again, he played four snaps and he got two targets in the game. Now, that may have been part of the first 15 script, and this is what we're going to do and adjust from it. But obviously, there were a lot of adjustments because of guys that weren't in the game and guys that were going to be a pretty big part of that. They wanted to run the ball, Matt, and you know, we talked last week, running the ball, the execution. I had pointed out that they had been successful running the football against the Bengals the three times they had played. They looked like they wanted to run it a little bit more. They just were not successful doing it against the Bengals this go around. And I think, do you think part of that was the Bengals changing things up because they didn't think Mahomes was going to be mobile? And he really wasn't, you know, the regular Mahomes. I mean, he was hampered by that ankle injury. He didn't get out and run as much. He didn't pick up a lot of first downs with his legs. The one at the end, obviously, is, you know, was great, and it was shows you the gamer that he is. But do you think the Bengals' ability to stop the run was an adjustment that they made, not expecting Mahomes to be the same guy? Or is there a little concern about that because it feels like running needs to be part of the game plan against the Eagles next Sunday?
Yeah, you know, we seem to hear a lot of little words coming out of the production meetings last week, and one of those was that apparently the Bengals were just completely floored that Mahomes was going to play, and certainly play anywhere at the level that he was. I don't know why they were floored. I mean, it's Patrick freaking Mahomes. Yeah. I mean, you should know this. You should have expectations. The fact that the Bengals at any point last week actually had any doubt that Patrick Mahomes was going to play and play well, bad scouting. I mean, this is not giving enough respect to your opponent. I think it was pretty clear all along. And if the plan for the Bengals was to go in and say, hey, even if Mahomes plays, he's going to be limited. Let's just make sure that they can't run the football. If they can't do that, Mahomes has no chance in the pocket. Bad miscalculation. They took away the ground game. Absolutely, for sure. Did a good job of that. But they didn't do the other things that they have consistently done to make Mahomes uncomfortable, especially in the second half. And I think Mahomes did a really good job of adjusting to what the Bengals did. So that certainly helped. Yeah, I mean, against the Eagles, I think running the football a little bit could help. But then again, I've also seen Andy Reid win playoff games when the run game's just not there. So I don't think it's critical. I think there's other critical issues. But it would be helpful. It'd be nice. But I don't think they have to be able to do that.
So, part of that would be nice to help alleviate how good that defensive front is at getting after the quarterback, which is why, you know, I look at Kadarius Toney. There's no McColl Hardman. That's, expected. I think Andy Reid sort of said that yesterday he's doubtful. But that's why I look at maybe Kadarius Toney as being an important piece, because can you keep that defensive line off balance and not just, you know, coming up the field? Can you stretch them sideline to sideline with what Kadarius Toney can do as a motion man or handoffs and things like that, so that you've got the defensive line thinking more than just, hey, we've got 70 sacks this year. This is what we do. We get after the quarterback. Can you keep them on their toes a little bit? Which the screen game, the Chiefs are really good at that. So Jerick McKinnon and that line. I think those aspects of the game, handing off, screen games, sweeps, throws down the line of scrimmage, just to keep that defensive front on their toes for the Eagles, and also to try to stay ahead of the chains because you don't want to get in obvious passing situations.
Yeah, and, you know, and hey, MVS showed a little bit of, you know, a little that in his bag, at least, that we hadn't seen before. I mean, they put him in a couple of those spots on Sunday.
Yep.
I mean, the Chiefs have guys that could do it, but you're right. I mean, Tony and Hardman are in two special classes. They're much more of a threat in those situations. That's why the teams have to pay attention to them. So, yeah, you're right. I mean, even if you've got, you know, Tony out there for 20-odd snaps, and maybe he's only the target on, you know, three or four of them. If that's the case, I mean, that's plenty. Just the diversion, the distraction that a guy like that can have on the field is a big deal.
Yep. Last one for you, Matt, because we'll get predictions and everything next week, and I know the Chiefs are going to talk here in 15 minutes, so we'll let you go after this one. But you like the jersey combo for the Chiefs, the white over red instead of what was became more of a maybe the fans wanting white over white?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I should be with Andy Reid and, you know, not favoring the white on white for the big guys, because I'm a big guy, and so I certainly shouldn't be wearing white shirt and a white pants anywhere I go. But, gosh, the white on white is a classic. It was the Super Bowl one look.
I know.
I mean,
I'm coming more and more around to the I would have liked to see the white. When it first came out, I'm like, no, I want to see the white on red. But the more and more I think about it, I'm like, I would have liked to see the white on. I'm fine either way because the Chiefs are playing in the Super Bowl.
I think I'm also influenced, too, by the Mardi days. I mean, they wore white on white so much. And I, for whatever reason, when I think of the Mardi days, I think white on white. I think of Joe Montana.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why, but that's just the vision I have. So I'd like white on white, but I get it. I mean, it's the best of the possible options since they're the road team. Hey, okay, white on red's fine.
And I saw the you know, there were a couple of people that were pointing out and like, well, the NFL doesn't let you wear alternate jerseys in the Super Bowl, but the pants don't count as alternate jerseys though. It's just the Chiefs are the only team in the NFL without an alternate jersey. They are the only team in the NFL with the one home jersey, one road jersey. Everybody else has at least one other ones. So, yeah, you can't wear like some crazy, you know, odd jersey in the Super Bowl. But the pants are not an alternate. It's white or red, white or red. So that would have been a possibility for them to do that. So
at least it's not red on red. So I don't think
God.
Mighty Morphin Power Rangers out there.
Oh, no, that's thank God. It's anything but that. Anything but the red on red, I will take. Matt, we'll talk to you next week. Get more of a breakdown of the game and your prediction as to what you think will happen. We'll talk next week, bud. I'll see you in Phoenix as well. And certainly we'll be listening and reading and hearing your coverage of the Chiefs as the week goes along. Thank you, sir.
And hopefully next Friday I'll be able to find you this time.
That would be great. We'll be on Radio Row. Just look for us there. It'll be fine. We'll be the ones on Radio Row. You'll see us.
We'll see you down there, Jason.
All right. There's Matt Derrick, Chiefs Digest, joining us here in the zone. Chiefs are going to talk in about 15 minutes or so with the coordinators and also Harrison Butker, Jalen Watson, and Trent McDuffie. We will take a timeout. We'll come back. We'll continue rolling. More Zone next.
Did you know that Greenlight Dispensary was voted the number one dispensary in Missouri and the number one loyalty program in Missouri? It doesn't surprise me one bit. If you're looking for the best cannabis experience in Kansas City, go to Greenlight Dispensary and visit them online at greenlightdispensary.com.
The Zone with Jason Anderson.
This is this guy has a rough luck with the mouth.
Weekdays from 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, thinking of Matt Derrick. We'll hang out with Mick Schaefer coming up later on in the show. We'll hear from the Chiefs, Dave Tobe, Steve Spagnuolo, Eric Bieniemy, Harrison Butker, Jalen Watson, and Trent McDuffie will be at the podium today.
Dave Tobe's most energetic presser of the year, I'd imagine.
Will Dave Tobe walk in with like sunglasses and a gold chain?
Conor McGregor.
And a buttoned up shirt that four buttons are not buttoned.
Yeah. Yeah, we're going to be able to see Dave Tobe's belly button.
Just
that's my prediction.
Walking in, feeling like, you know, his bleep doesn't stink. Just actually, will he be carried in like on a like a, in a chair and people will like be carrying him in?
I think like an emperor or something where you've got like Tommy Townsend, James Winchester, Harrison Butker, Sky Moore.
That's
just carrying him.
Mm-hmm.
What are those called? Beards, you're a history guy. Those things, like, you know, there's a post.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Four people carry the post. There's, like, a big chair on top.
Let's see. Yeah.
Like Cleopatra or something. Here's what I found. Whoop, Apple Watch, what do you say?
Why does it do that?
I don't know. Something one of us said may have vaguely resembled the name of Apple's assistant.
My Apple Watch says, Harrison Butker, Jalen Watson, and Trent McDuffie will be at the podium today.
Oh,
Dave Tobe's most energetic machine. Well, Dave Tobe walk in with, like, sunglasses at a gold chain and a button-up shirt. Here's what I found.
Thank you, Siri.
It's a palanquin.
Oh, yeah,
palanquin.
Palanquin.
Also known as a litter.
Those are a little different, though. Those have got, like, the encasing around them.
Yeah, that's fine.
It looks like a palanquin can be carried by just two people, perhaps. I'm really trying to get regal with it.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
So anyway, that's how Dave Tobe will be heading into the post game or the press conference today, as they will head to Phoenix coming up on Sunday. So there you go.
Even if it's not on their shoulders, I do think Dave Tobe deserves to be carried into his presser this weekend.
I learned something with Matt Derrick. We always learn something with Matt Derrick, but I didn't know that L'Jarius Sneed is already scheduled to be at a podium on Monday.
Yep.
At Media Day. So.
Yep, they have scheduled out, I believe, an hour of podium talk that includes him. I think, this is a real test if I was listening. Did he mention that I think Juju is also on that schedule? Let me double check.
We were talking about Sneed and the concussion, and it was good news for him to be already on the field.
I'm
and
on it.
One step closer. Thank you. Appreciate it. That is Mahomes going to be on the podium, or is he just going to be out
be on
people,
the podium.
People just walk
I
up
believe.
And talk with him? Okay.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to figure out who I'm going to get one-on-ones with. Kelsey, too? Is it Kelsey?
I do think Kelsey and Frank Clark,
dang it.
Jones will be up there. Hopefully you study your roster. And
what about Kadarius Toney? Can I ask him about him being involved in the athletes that are dating Margot Robbie?
I think you should.
Do you see that?
I have.
He got included now with all the different random
good
athletes
for him, man.
That are connected to.
You mean it's not Mike Francesa?
That was my favorite for
yes,
sure.
That's right. Margot Robbie, who's been married for like 10 years, all of a sudden is dating all these different athletes, hockey players. And Kadarius Toney got Kadarius Toney after the championship game. It was revealed that he's dating Margot Robbie. Well, good for him.
Good for him.
Good
man.
For him. Now, he only played four plays in that game, so
sure.
I'm not sure that that's the game that you really get excited about. Like, wow, Margot Robbie's all about Kadarius Toney now. All right,
she can see the potential.
That's a good point. She'd have to see it from the sideline where he's usually standing next to the other coaches. But let's hope that's not the case in the Super Bowl. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back. More Zone next.